All right, you can be seated. Open your Bibles quickly to Romans chapter 4. And I want to walk through several verses. I want to thank Reverend Thomas reading verses 13 through 25. That's where this all comes from. But let me set the stage for just a moment. And can you hang with me for just a minute as I walk through a teaching that I want to give you very quickly. All right, this is a word that you're going to need for 2017. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you're going to need this word for 2017. Did y'all tell them? Tell them. You're going to need this for 2017. I've entitled this message, How to Face the Uncertainty of Tomorrow. How do we face the uncertainty of tomorrow? Because what we have is a tomorrow that we don't know about. As a matter of fact, people are nervous and scared because Mr. Trump is becoming the president. People are stressed out and troubled and concerned, as if God dropped the mic and walked off the stage once Trump became the president. Somebody say, he's still God. He's still in charge. And I've already told you on previous occasions after the elections that he's not the first president with questionable morals. He's not the first, won't be the last. God is still in charge. God is still orchestrating. God is still in charge. And what I thought I should talk about with you today is the fact that the Apostle Paul in this book of Romans, y'all have to hang with me and follow these verses with me for you to follow me, or else you'll get easily lost. But I want to talk about the fact that Paul the Apostle writes to the church in Rome. Now he writes to this church, and here's what's significant about that. Rome is an ungodly culture, but yet in the midst of the ungodly culture is a church. Don't y'all know God always got a church somewhere in a place? And he writes to them and he's telling them, and he raises for them and highlights for them the fact that Abraham is who's the father of the faith. He wants to highlight how Abraham was able to achieve and do the things he did, even though he was in uncertain conditions. And I love this about the passage, because Paul says, let me highlight what Abraham did. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because I know some of you are stressed out and troubled and frustrated and don't know about what's going to happen with your jobs and your careers. And some of you got things that you believe in God for that hasn't happened. You thought it was going to happen in 2016, but it didn't. Look at your neighbor and say, God ain't forgot about you. Go ahead. Look and say, God hasn't forgotten about you. Abraham had to wait 25 years for the promise God had given him. We live in a culture where people don't want to wait 25 minutes for what God told them. He waited 25 years, and yet I love the question is raised, and I love about Abraham that he made it through all of the time of all of the promises. God had made the promise to him. Genesis chapter 12, God made a promise. He was going to be the father of a great nation, and he would be the father of a great nation. God would make out of him a great nation, and he would bless people, and God would bless those who blessed him and curse those who cursed him. And yet here he was getting the promise at 75, but the promise didn't happen until he was 100 years old. 25 years later, the promise comes to reality. The promise happens and it becomes reality. 25 years. And his wife wasn't a young chicken either. Come on, look at your neighbor and say she wasn't young. So when you got something that you're believing God for, when you've got a promise that you're hoping God is going to bring to pass, when God has spoken to you and given you a word, and here you've been waiting and it hasn't happened and it hasn't come to pass, what do you do? What do you do when you've been waiting and waiting, and now 2006 has come and gone to pass, and you ain't got that house, and you haven't got that promotion, and you haven't got married, and you haven't got that baby, or whatever you got hasn't happened? Now you're saying, we're going into 2017. I got a word for you. There is a promise from God for uncertain times. What do you do? I'm glad you asked the question. In verse number 18, the Apostle Paul begins to highlight what Abraham did that enabled him to make it through the uncertain times until the promise became a reality. And I need you to get this, because some of you are getting frustrated and upset and mad because God is not responding to you as rapidly as you want or as quickly as you want. But how many know God doesn't work on your timetable? In verse 18, Paul says to them, who contrary to hope, talking about Paul, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. Somebody say, contrary to hope, in hope believed. Do y'all see that in verse 18? In spite of the fact that the circumstances that he was facing was contrary to hope, against all hope. Some of your circumstances are against hope. But he in hope believed. Y'all missed it right there. Let me bring it back. In other words, everything in front of him said it's not going to happen. All the circumstances said it won't happen. It won't come to pass. But in spite of the fact that the circumstances said it won't happen, in hope he believed. And here's my first point. You have to have hope. Somebody tell your neighbor, you gotta have hope. That word hope means to anticipate. It means to have expectation. It means to have confidence. You gotta go into 2017 with an expectation, with an anticipation. You gotta have an expectation and an anticipation and an expectation and then have an expectation and then an anticipation. You gotta have an expectation on top of an anticipation. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. In other words, you gotta have confidence that in due season and due time, that the God we serve is somehow going to step into the domain of your promise and make that promise come to reality and come to fruition. But you gotta have confidence. You can't be doubting. You can't question him. Deep inside, you gotta know that you know that you know that you know that you know. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to somebody here today. It is because of this hope. It is because of this inside hope that he had. And matter of fact, not only did, listen, he had, somebody said have hope. He had hope. He became the father of many nations. And then hold up, let me add this to it, because I thought y'all would shout on verse 18 on having hope. But since y'all did, maybe I'll shout on verse 19. And not being weak in faith, verse 19, he did not consider his own body. So he not only had hope, he also, listen to this, he also point to, he knew what not to consider. Let me let that sink in for a moment. Some of y'all don't know what to not consider. You keep giving weight to stuff that you shouldn't give no weight to. You keep giving considerations to stuff you shouldn't be giving considerations to. Preach on, Pastor. I'm doing the best that I can. What did he not give consideration to? Verse 19 says he did not consider his own body already dead. In other words, he was past the age where he could father a child. Him was dead. I knew that would wake this 10 o'clock crowd up right here. And some of you are looking at the circumstances that's dead, looking at what somebody said, looking at what the boss said, looking at what the economy says, and what Abraham did is he looked past what the circumstance said, and he had enough faith to know what not to consider. And what I'm trying to prophesy and preach to y'all is stop giving weight to stuff that you have no business getting weight to. Stop listening to what your spouse said who said they're going to divorce you. Stop listening to what the paper says. Stop listening to the news. Preach on, Pastor. Stop listening to what they say. when God's going to move on your behalf, let me tell you something. You're going to be hit and attacked by stuff consistently. And those things are going to tell you it's not going to work. It's not going to come to pass. That door's not going to open. You're not going to win. You're too old to get married. You can't have no kids. You're going to keep on getting it in your face time after time after time. But I'm here to tell you that God is able to do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Look at your neighbor, say God is able to do. Y'all ain't got it. Matter of fact, not only, here's what it said. He only didn't consider his own body, since he was already dead, 100 years old. And his wife's womb was dead. That's dead on top of dead. Y'all now, I wish I could be a little graphic for y'all here. I wish I could tell you. But y'all can't handle that. But it was dead on top of dead. No action on top of action. Hallelujah. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But how many know that we serve a God who has the capacity to wake up what's dead? Abraham had hope. Abraham knew what not to consider. Here's number three. I'm almost finished. I got 4 points and I'll be done. He says in verse 20, look at verse 20. He did not waver. Somebody say, don't waver. Look at your neighbor, say, don't waver. Y'all done say it loud enough. I need you to have an attitude. Look in their grill. Say, don't waver. Don't stagger. Don't separate. Don't withdraw. That's what the word waver means. Don't withdraw. Don't oppose. Don't hesitate. Don't pull back. Don't stop believing the promise. Don't waver at the promise of God. See, what God is looking for is somebody who's not going to waver. Y'all, excuse me for a second. Somebody who's got the confidence to know that what God said he's going to do, he will bring it to pass. You just keep loving the Lord. Y'all, listen, let me tell you something. Stay in love with Jesus. Whatever you do, stay in love with Jesus. Don't waver. Matter of fact, what I like about verse 20, it says not only did Abraham didn't waver, but at the promise, but he was strengthened in his faith, verse 20. He strengthened his faith, and it says he gave glory to God. God's looking for some people who won't waver, who'll keep their faith strong, but he's looking for people who will not wait until the battle is over to give God glory, but that will go ahead and give him the glory even before it comes to pass. Anybody can shout when the battle is over. It's easy to shout when you get the promotion, but can you shout when the promotion is nowhere in the vicinity? Anybody can shout when the baby is in the womb, but can you shout even before when the doctors have said you're not pregnant yet? Can you go ahead and give God a shout and a praise even then? It's easy to shout after you pass the test and see the A on the paper, but can you give a shout even before you go take the test? I'm trying to get somebody to understand what I'm saying, that we are entering into 2017 with an attitude of not wavering. We're going to give God the glory. Do I have anybody here tonight who's willing to give God the glory? I want you to walk out of here tonight not wavering. I want you to walk out of here not giving consideration to your fears and your anxieties, and stop listening to people's opinions and people's thoughts, and forget about your past and forget about your team members and your family members. I'm wanting you to leave out of here today having hope, and I want you to leave out of here according to verse 21, and I want you to be able to be fully convinced. Look at verse 21. Somebody say, fully convinced. Being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform it. That's what my assignment here tonight is, to tell you that the God we serve told me to tell you, He got your back. There's some young man I'm preaching to tell you God has not forgotten about what he told you. 2017 is going to bring it to pass. There's some lady who felt like God forgot about her. My assignment is to tell you, I wonder if you can shout in 2016 like you believe it's already happened for you when it comes in 2017. It's coming. God is orchestrating. God is preparing it. It's getting ready to come into the doorstep of your life. All you got to do is have the attitude and act like you believe that God has already worked it out. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I'm preaching to somebody. I know y'all going to the club. I bind that club spirit in Jesus' name before you leave. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. But the promises of God, be fully convinced. And God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's going to perform and he's going to fulfill every promise. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, every promise. Look at more on the other side. Say, every promise. High five them behind you. High five them in front of you. Tap somebody on your shoulder and say, that same God who rose Jesus from the dead is about to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. We are riding into 2017, riding on a promise, riding on his word. Riding on what he said he was going to do. God is able to do everything he said he would do. Sing that one more time for us, Brother Darwin.
He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Who believes it tonight? Don't give up on God. 'Cause he won't give up on.
Somebody say,
he said,
come on, clap, church.
Yeah.
Somebody say, he's able.
Come on, if you really believe it, take it up and sing again. Come on.
God. Just what he said.
He's gonna fulfill
everything.
Don't give up on God. 'Cause he won't.
He's able.
Yeah. If you believe it tonight, say he's able. Yes, Lord. That's right. Sing it all. Come on. Whoa, whoa. Sing it. Whoa. Here we go. He's able. See ya! Don't give up on God. Anybody believe it tonight? Oh, don't give up on God. 'Cause he won't give up on you.
This is a moment and an opportunity for me to reach out to some people who need the Lord Jesus in their life.
Yes.
If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus, he died on the cross for your sins so that you could have a relationship with him. And I want to invite you to come and give him your heart. Or maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure of your eternal destiny. Maybe you have doubts and questions. You can have assurance. You can walk out of here today, and you ought to walk out of here today with the assurance of having a relationship with him. Make your way here if that's you. If you're backslidden, you want to rededicate, come right now. This is the time right now, right this moment, come. 'Cause he won't give up on you. There might be some others here today who are unsure, backslidden, or maybe you're already saved, but you want to join our church. Just a great church. Come right now. That's right. Come on. Anybody else? This is the time. While you have the blood running warm in your veins, you are clothed and in your right mind. Hallelujah. There's still some more coming. Come on. Praise the Lord. Help me give the Lord a shout for these souls here. It would be tragic for people to be here and not be right with Jesus and leave here without him. Tomorrow's not promised. What you have is this moment. I'm taking just one more minute. If you're unsaved, you've never accepted Jesus, I ain't asking if you go to church. Hell gonna be full of church people. Have you been born again? Have you had an encounter with the Lord Jesus? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been forgiven of your sins? Has Jesus made himself real to you? Have you been born again? Don't be ashamed. We ain't none of us in here born saved. We were all born in sin. And one day we know we needed Jesus. And there's that tug in your heart telling you to come. You need to come on. You need to stop letting the devil tell you to wait to this, wait for your husband, wait for your wife, wait till you get this straight, wait till you stop that, wait till you stop lying or stealing or cussing or whatever your issue is. If you could have stopped it on your own, you would have. You can't. We can't. We need help. Only the power of Jesus gives us the ability to be able to walk and get free from sin. Only the power of Jesus. Or maybe you're already saved and walk with him, but you don't have no church. You don't have no covering. You need to be covered. Somebody say covered. You need a covering. This here is a great church. Lean over, tell your neighbor, this here is a great church. I'm just trying to pull you to come on. I'm trying to give you every opportunity. That's right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm proud of you. Praise the Lord. Go with her. She's going to take care of you. Give you every opportunity. I don't want anybody to walk out of here that's not right with the Lord. I want everybody to be in the right place. I'm so proud of y'all that came. I'm so proud of you stepping out and coming down here tonight. The heavens are shouting. The angels are dancing. Hallelujah. The person behind you is a counselor. They're going to take you in the back and find out where you are spiritually and minister to you. You're going to leave out of here differently than the way you came in. So proud of these young men that have come down here today. I'm praising the Lord. He's changing young men and young ladies at the First Baptist Church of Glenarm. I'm excited about that. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray right now that you fill each one, touch their lives. Whatever they need, Lord, grant it to them in Jesus' name. Save, forgive, cleanse. Give them a heart to repent. Give them the faith to believe. I pray, God, that you make them brand new creations that need to be saved. Plant those who are believers. Fill them all with the power of your presence. Restore the person who's backslid. Give assurance to those who have doubts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great. All right. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a shout for these souls here today.